You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
Man, we've been in this sermon series called The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, and you actually get to hear that today. Just kidding. But it's the Sermon on the Mount, and what you'll find is in the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5 through 7. And something unique to this story of the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew is the author of the book of Matthew, and he's given us this front row seat, if you will, to what it was like to walk with Jesus. And Matthew was a tax collector who, in a sense, kind of betrayed his people, and he found his life very rich and resourced. And Jesus says, hey, follow me, and Matthew leaves what this world would call valuable and follows Jesus, and Matthew walks away changed, but invites us into that change as well. And today, really what we're going to be talking about, I think it's going to be a challenging message, but also maybe for some it's a reminder, but we're going to be talking about motive. What really drives us? And Jesus is reminding us that we need to do the right things for the right reasons. It's this idea of living for an audience of one, and that one is Jesus. That no one else, that you're going to be living for Jesus and no one else. And you're going to hear me today say these statements like, check your motives, is what you're doing for God or for others, many times throughout this message. And I want you to begin to wrestle with that right now. I want you to begin to wrestle with, why are you in church? Why do you follow Jesus if you're a follower of Jesus? Why do you serve? What's your motive behind certain things? And really answering the question, is it for God or is it for others? Because today, really what we see in our culture, that we love to be seen. And let me prove it to you really quick. How many of you have ever made a post on social media? Lots of hands in the room. How many of you guys have ever made a post on social media only to go back to see if that post got any likes? I just did this yesterday. But how many of you guys have made a post on social media to go back to see what it's gotten and were disappointed by the results? Okay, yeah. I love the honesty. Yeah, because the reality is we like to be seen. We like to be people to see what we're doing and how we're doing it. So we like to be seen as maybe generous. We like to be seen as spiritually devoted. We like to be seen as self-disciplined. We like to be seen as maybe morally superior. We like to be seen maybe as the perfect family. And what you'll see in this passage that we'll read in Matthew 6, 1 through 18, is Jesus isn't condemning necessarily good works. He's not condemning prayer, giving, or fasting. He's really challenging our thinking on why we are doing them. Are they for God's eyes or the world's applause? Essentially, what is our motive in following God? And really answering the question, if Jesus was the only one to ever see what you are doing, is that enough? Or even the question, is what you're doing really for Jesus? Those are the things that matter, living for the audience of one, and that one being Jesus. And so what this may practically mean as a family, as a parent, it might be live with integrity with your kid when your kids are not looking. Maybe as a spouse, it's seeking God's approval in your tone, habits, and heart. Maybe as a child, it's obey and love God, not just for the church, but in your daily choices. And maybe as a family, it's we are a family that lives for God, not the applause. You see, we love to bring like the extras into Christianity. We like to bring the public recognition. We like to bring the praise of people. We like to bring power or influence. We like to bring social media gain. We like to maybe bring self-elevation into Christianity, but that's not what it was about. We see that even what Jesus says, he says, truly, I tell you, they will have received the reward in full. Meaning those who seek accolades or trophies or accolades through spiritual acts get exactly what they want if they're seeking human praise, which is human praise. But if you're seeking it for God, then you'll get God's reward. And God's reward might be God's approval. It may be closeness with him. It may be eternity. That's all we need and nothing more. And in life, we are always tempted to perform for the crowd. But again, as we'll see in this passage, it's this idea of living for the audience of one, which is Jesus. So with all that in mind, we're going to read the scripture, and I'll preface this, Matthew 6, 1 through 18, that the first scripture we'll read is like the thesis of what we're going to read entirely. He gives us the statement, and then he gives supporting arguments to the statement, and it's really powerful as we read it with the idea of living for Jesus and him alone. So let's go ahead and begin to read it. Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount, "Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven." And then here's his arguments. "When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Secondly, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray publicly on the street corners in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him." And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer, but then in verse 16, he gives the third argument. He says, "And when you fast, don't make it obvious that as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable, and so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." Let's pray real quick. God, we're just thankful for your word. God, I pray just come alive today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we read this scripture in regards to the living for the audience of one, what can we pull out of this from, in a sense, like a 20,000-foot view? Because we could talk about prayer, we could talk about giving, we could talk about fasting, but I think with the first scripture there, I think there's more to it. And the first thing I want to point out is God wants to reward you. You see that many times through the scripture, but the first thing I'll point out in regards to this is this concept of not if, but when. In 6:2, it says, "When you give." In 6:5, it says, "When you fast." In 6:16, it says, "When you pray." There's an expectation when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior that you switch from this idea from if to when. It's like this idea that we have this personal responsibility as Christ followers to go through with spiritual disciplines. It's this, and again, it's this idea of owning our faith. That when we own our faith and we switch from if to when, God wants to reward you. You know, we get so passionate about so many other things in life, so why not get passionate about Christ? Jesus isn't satisfied with people who just believe his ethics. He wants people to live them out. It's one thing, right, to post on social media and say, "I believe in Jesus," but it's another thing to privately live it out. You see, agreement without action might as well either be laziness or procrastination. And we have to have action. And even to prove this, you know, before Dan Campbell became the Detroit Lions coach, does anyone know how many coaches you guys went through in 20 years? You guys went through 8 coaches in 20 years. There was no action with the Lions for a long time, amen? But when the action happened, now we believe in what the coach is doing, right? We believe in Dan Campbell. We believe that the Detroit Lions are going to have a great season this year. When action happens in our faith, we believe in what we're doing. It's putting action behind our words. Like when you give, when you fast, when you pray. It's not if, but when. And when you do, God wants to reward you because he sees you and he sees what you're doing in secret. You see, the secret place is where faith grows. It's that whispered prayer. It's that quiet generosity. It's that the sacrifices that no one else sees. See, don't practice to be seen by people, because if that is your motive, if your motive as a Christ follower is, I'm going to be seen by people, your reward will always and only ever be the response that people give you. If you post on social media, I'm a Christ follower, and you're expecting a bunch of comments and a bunch of amens to that, but you don't get them, your reward is exactly what you got. So don't practice to be seen by people, because if that is your motive, our reward will always be the response by what the people give us. Which leads me to my second thought, which is God's reward is worth getting, but we gotta check our motives. You see, the greatest thing you will ever get is God. But what are some things God might reward us with? And those things are such as closeness to God. Maybe it's inner peace and contentment. Maybe it's a stronger faith. Maybe it's wisdom and discernment. Maybe it's things such as the fruit of the Spirit that you read about in Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are things that God might reward you with as you place Him the center of all your motives and all your actions. However, we read about in Matthew 6, we see this word hypocrite. And this word hypocrite can be defined as stage actors. Someone who essentially wears a mask and plays the part. You see, every great movie has a great actor. But that actor isn't usually who they are personally. They have to act to be part of that part. Unless you're Adam Sandler, which he seems to be the same everywhere he goes. But what are some ways that we act as actors, as followers of Christ? What are some, in a sense, masks that we put on ourselves that make us look like we play the part, but maybe we're not truly living it out? And maybe it's such things as acting generous only so that we're noticed by other people. Or maybe it's acting prayerful only to impress others. Or maybe it's acting spiritually disciplined only to draw attention to yourself. Or maybe it's pretending to be humble while only seeking praise and admiration. Or maybe it's talking godly values but not living them out privately. Again, Scripture says right there in verse 1, it's like this warning. It's like red flag, red flag, red flag. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. In a sense, what he's saying is, if what you're doing is for others to watch, that's not good. You know, I recently asked several teenagers here at Gateway Youth, when did your faith become your own? And several of the answers that they said was that is when they experienced God outside the norms of life. And so sometimes the norms of life don't give you the moment to check your motives, but when you branch outside of the norms of life, maybe you're able to ask yourself the question, why am I really doing this? And maybe that's something you need to do. Maybe put in your calendar, check your motives retreat, and then go on a retreat yourself and really examine, why am I doing things in my life? And maybe journal some things that God may be sharing with you. Because the reality is what Jesus is pointing out here, is if you do things for others, again, others is the reward. The reaction, the applause, or whatever you get from others, that is going to be the reward. But if you do it for God, then God rewards. So are you following God for the applause of other people, or are you following God for truly yourself? Again, your reward will be God. But we have to choose based off our motives on why we are following God. Thirdly, the third thought from this is quiet obedience brings real blessing. You see, the most meaningful blessings that will come from your life when you follow Jesus will come not from your public praise, but God's quiet, obedient actions that you have in your life. You see, we have to, in a sense, free ourselves from this expectation that we need to be recognized as Christ followers. There's this element to what God is doing in the unseen life. That doesn't mean you won't ever be seen by others. That doesn't mean no one's ever going to clap and give you praise because you followed God in your life. But it frees you from this need and desire to be seen by others. And so what are some things that we might do to be recognized over quietness? Maybe it's just putting on this perfect spiritual front at church while struggling with some serious or relational or spiritual issues in your life. Or maybe it's posting about family Bible studies or prayer or fasting, but primarily to gain admiration, not to glorify God. Or maybe it's such things as teaching children to behave well in church or quote scripture, but not out of the heart of God, but really to reflect, hey, all is well on my family. Or maybe it's discouraging family or others around you from asking hard faith questions or showing doubt to maintain, hey, our family, we have an image of a strong faith. We don't ask the hard questions, we don't doubt, we just believe. Or maybe it's practicing in church events only to be seen as I'm spiritual because guess what? I'm part of this church event, but on the inside you're actually struggling and dealing with some deep things. It's praying prayers like, God, I'm a mess. I'm asking you to do something with my mess. It's humbly approaching your prayer times and saying, God, this isn't about me. It's about you. God, let me be your chosen instrument. Just use me for whatever you want to use me for. I don't need the gain. I don't need the accolades. God, I just want to be used by you. Again, the reminder here is I'm not saying you won't ever be seen by others. In fact, honestly, sometimes it feels good to be seen by others. But however, it's a motive check. Why are you doing what you're doing? So what are some steps that we can take to free ourselves from this idea of wanting to be recognized? I'd say the first one is remember who sees you. God alone is the one who sees you. Jesus says repeatedly, your Father who sees you, what it is done in secret, will reward you. When you do something good, remind yourself that God sees your heart and your actions even when no one else does. Practicing this shifts your focus from people's eyes to God's eyes. Secondly, you can practice quiet devotion. You could try doing some acts of kindness or prayer or service and without telling anyone, without posting on social media, no sharing stories. It's just this quiet devotion saying, you know what? God told me to do this. I'm going to be obedient in this. And you start small. Maybe you quietly help someone or you pray privately or you fast without announcement. This trains your heart to find joy in God's reward rather than public praise. You know, something that it's always like I found funny is the whole social media fast, to be honest. You get on social media and then you say, hey, I'm fasting social media, don't contact me. It's always been something funny to me because, like, it's not necessarily, you didn't do it quietly, you kind of did it publicly and, you know, to each their own there, but, like, it's just a funny thing to me. Thirdly, though, you can check your motives regularly. And worship team, you can go ahead and come up. You can ask yourself, why am I doing this? Is it for God or is it for others? And I'd encourage you, like, this is really a message for you to be honest with yourself. To be honest and confess any desire you have for recognition. Because the reality is we like to be recognized. We like to be seen. And when we do something good, we want to be seen as we just did this act of kindness. We just did this act of prayer. We just did this fast. But we got to be honest with ourselves. We have to invite God to purify our motives, like the gardener pruning the branches. And we just got done with youth camp. And, man, I love going to youth camp. I love the competitiveness it brings. I like to win. This year marks the third year we've won in a row, and it's super cool. It's honestly, it feels good to win, right? Like, it feels good to get the accolades and the, actually, we got something back here. It's kind of cool. Come on, we got a WWE belt. I would put it on, but it's kind of, I'd probably fall off the stage. It's so heavy. It does blind people. Just kidding. But they gave us like this cool belt, and I could do the Kobe on it. Rip. But like, this is like at camp, like I said, I'm competitive. I like to win. We got a group of kids who like to win. And it's always a motive check. Because, like, we can go to camp and win, but really, what does it matter? We get a cool belt. We made hats this year. They were cool. I said we won camp, but we were seen as winners, right? But the personal motive check that we have to have here is this. I want to get teenagers in the room so they can experience Jesus. No matter what. No matter what phase their walk is in, no matter what, where they're at in their walk, if a salvation message is going to be preached, I want them there to be saved. If the cross is going to be preached, I want the students to hear it. Another personal motive is I want the kids to experience the altar, because the altar alters lives. And I want people to experience the voice of God. Because what matters there is I could say 1,000 words up here on stage today. But if you heard one word from God, forget everything I just said. Follow that one word from God. We have to place ourselves in places to experience all that God has for us. And sometimes, just as the teenagers said when in regards to when did they make faith their own, sometimes that is getting outside the norms of life and saying, I want to hear God. And again, maybe that's a family trip where you're doing a motive check trip, checking your motives regularly to see what God may say to us. Fourthly, when it comes to freeing ourselves from this idea of wanting to be recognized, it's remember the temporary nature of human praise. That human praise only is temporary for a moment. Us winning camp, once we made the hats, it was done. We went into service and we pursued God and it didn't even matter anymore. You see, Jesus warns the seeking of human applause gives you your reward in full. You'll receive human praise if that's what you're seeking. But if you're seeking God, the more can happen. So maybe it's reflecting on how fleeting an applause is versus God's eternal reward. Or maybe it's meditating on the following scriptures about storing treasures in heaven, which we'll talk about next week. But storing up treasures in heaven rather than seeking earthly desires. Fifthly, how can we do this? Maybe it's building your identity in God's love, not others' approval. So spending time in God's word, spending time in prayer, so that it keeps him the center of everything, and it really keeps the center, the main thing. It allows nothing else to matter. So if someone gives you human praise, great, they see you, but who sees you more is God, because he's the one who's important. And when you know you're loved and you're accepted by God, the need for recognition weakens, and the need for God is all the more. Sixthly, we can surround ourselves with community that values authenticity. We can find friends or family who encourage you to be who God created you to be. You can share struggles about recognition with trusted people, pray for each other. You can surround yourself with a community that really calls you out and says, you know what? Hey, you've been valuing some recognition recently. Hey, let's put our values back in God. And lastly, you can celebrate small, hidden victories. Keep a journal of moments. And when you choose to serve quietly or pray privately, you know, put in that journal. Thank God that he's still speaking to you. Thank God he's still using you through serving. Thank God that you're experiencing these victories, because ultimately, he's the one we get the ultimate victory in. So thank God for these moments and ask for strength to keep going. But today, like, as we close, we're going to go back into the song with you. But before we do that, I want us to wrestle with a couple thoughts. And the first thought is this, is do you need to free yourself of the expectation to be seen? Because I can say this in this room right now, that God sees each and every single one of you. You are important to God. Everyone who walked in this room, everyone who's watching online, you are important to God, and God sees you right where you're at. You don't have to change who you are for Christ. You don't have to change anything about yourself. God sees who you are, and you're made in the image of God, and that means you can come to God and bring things to the table that other people can't bring, because God created you in His image. So do you need to free yourself of the expectation that you need to be seen? And maybe today it's confessing, I've been following Christ so that others would notice, but I haven't fully started following Christ for myself. Or maybe this question is the one that you need to wrestle with today. And you can go ahead and stand with me. I would say this is a tough question to wrestle with. Is it all about the appearance of being a Christian, but no action? I want to be seen as a Christian. I want to be seen that someone on Highway 31, when I walk outside these doors, that my mama sees me, or that my friend sees me walking outside these doors. Or maybe you're wearing a Gateway Church shirt and you're like, man, I'm seen as I go to the Gateway Church. Or maybe you have the bumper sticker on your car. I'm seen as I go to the Gateway Church. I have the appearance of being a Christian, but then maybe you have no action behind it. It's this idea that it's a good thing to be seen as a Christian, but I don't have any action behind it. Is your motive to be seen as a Christian, but not personally be one? Is your motive to be personally seen as a Christian, but not be one? You see, today, I'm wearing this baseball jersey. You may think I like baseball. But the reality is, I only like the hot dogs at the baseball park. And I don't follow baseball really hardly at all. I may be seen as I like baseball because I'm wearing a jersey, but I don't follow baseball. You may be seen as a Christian, but you don't follow him. That's the question we have to wrestle with today, I think. What's our motive? What drives us? Why are we here? Why do we serve? Where are we at in our walk with Christ? And again, none of this is to necessarily condemn. It's Jesus. Maybe this is you today. Maybe this is the red light you need to ask yourself the question, am I truly following Jesus? Maybe you've been on the brink of like giving up on all this. Maybe today's that warning, like, hey, don't give up. Jesus loves you. He sees you. He sees where you're at. But do it for him, not others. And so this morning, we're going to go back, like I said, into the song called With You. And this is all, the song talks about being with Jesus. It talks about being consumed with all that we are. And I pray, we sang this song earlier in the service. My prayer is this, that this song, in a sense, has a whole new meaning. That when we talk about being consumed by Jesus, we really mean, hey, I want to be consumed by Jesus. I want everything that he has, all the rewards. I don't care if I get the human praise. I don't care if people see me, but I want to be seen by God. I think, man, let this song bring a whole new meaning. That when we say, hey, let's really be with God, we're going to be with God. And what we're going to do is we're going to open up these altars. Like I said, one of my personal motives is I believe the altar alters lives. And so why not come up and experience what may be life-changing? I'm not saying you can't have an altar at your seat. I'm saying watch what God does when we put action into our steps. So if that's something you feel challenged by during the song of worship, I encourage you to come up here and just give it all to God. No one's going to lay hands on you. This is a moment between you personally and what God has for you. And I just believe God's going to speak. Like I said, when God speaks, take that 100 more miles an hour than you would a message like this. So let's pray. God, we're just so thankful. God, that you're with us in every step of the way. And God, when we just get consumed by everything that you have for us, Lord, we don't go with the accolades or we don't go with the trophies. God, Scripture talks about you reward us. So God, I pray, Lord, in this song that we sing, God, that you would just draw close to us. God, that you just have your way with us. And God, I pray for ones who may be struggling with this idea of living with this audience of one being you. God, I pray, Lord, that your presence would just surround them. Lord, that you consume them to where all they want to do is walk out of here praising you for everything that you're doing in their life. And God, we know that comes with expectations of following you in a deeper way, but God, I pray you challenge us, remind us, and Lord, we just give you the praise and glory for what you're just going to do in the next few moments. God, we give the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. If you want to respond by coming up to the altar, go ahead, but we're going to sing this song.
God, this morning, as we pray, let our hearts just echo what Pastor Sean said, that, Lord, we're a mess. Lord, we're a mess. And Lord, we try to keep it together. We try to pretend, and sometimes we keep up a facade. Or I don't know if it's out of pride or vanity or insecurity or shame. But Lord, really, Lord, all of us are just a mess. But Jesus, we thank you that you take that mess and you make something beautiful out of it. And so, Lord, we give you this mess of who we are, our brokenness, and let it just be consumed by who you are. Your glory, your perfection, your goodness, your grace, your forgiveness. Lord, how beautiful is it that even though we're a mess, you choose to use us. You fill us with your spirit and with your presence, and you send us out. Lord, and I think of the words of the Apostle Paul. That we have this treasure of your presence, of your gospel, of your forgiveness, but it's in these broken and dirty jars of clay, which is us. Lord, thank you for this word today to check our motivation, to look inside, to remember why we do what we do, that it's for you, that it's for your glory. And Lord, thank you that you choose to use us. That it's not work, it's not obligation that we serve you, that we obey you, that we do good. But Lord, it's out of thanksgiving and praise and celebration as an offering back to you. Lord, we're a mess. And we know that we're leaving and we're going out into a world that's a mess as well. But we thank you that we're carrying this message of grace and hope and forgiveness and love as we leave. So Lord, send us as your ambassadors. Send us as your emissaries. Send us as your missionaries to this lost, hurting, and broken world. That we could say we're a mess too. But we have forgiveness and wholeness through our Savior Jesus. Lord, we thank you that as we go, that your Spirit is before us, behind us, and all around us every single step of the way. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen, amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Go in God's grace, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.